It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Ray, and Ray is one of these people who always is on my mind. And the reason for that is because when someone leaves a haunted house, someone else usually moves into those properties. And tonight, Ray has come on the show because she is one of those people. So Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kate.
It's a real pleasure to have you on the show tonight, because this is something that I am always so curious about, is what happens to the next person who moves into a haunted house. And you just so happen to be this type of person. So tell me about it. Like, what happened as soon as you moved into this property?
Okay, so it would have been around 2017. We were living in Townsville, my husband and I, and our two teenage sons. And we've moved into a property in Townsville, and we'd taken over a lease that a lady had lived there, and her husband had worked away, and she had two little kids, so she had spent quite a lot of time at the home on her own. And she only lived there for about 3 months of the 12-month lease. So we took over her lease. And so we've moved in, and things started to sort of happen, I would say, within about a month of moving in. So the very first thing that started occurring was my son's built-in cupboard doors would be opened, and he started sort of questioning me and saying, Mum, because he'd, for some reason, like, he was about 16, 17 at this time, but he just always didn't like the built-ins open, you know, just from when he was a little kid. So he'd shut them before he got into bed, and he'd questioned me a few times in the morning and said, Mum, have you been, like, leaving the built-in doors open? Because he thought I'd be up sort of late doing washing and that sort of thing, and he's thinking of putting, like, school uniforms away and just leaving them open. And I said to him, no, like, I haven't been in the room. And this had happened a couple of times, and at first I thought he was just sort of being a bit paranoid or mistaking that he'd left them closed. So this had probably happened about three times or so, and I said, okay, I'd taken notice this night, and I thought, okay, the doors are closed, I'm not going in the room, we're going to really sort of monitor this. So next day comes around, built-ins are open. Do it again, another night, same thing. Next morning, built-ins are open again. So at that point I'm thinking, okay, he's obviously not imagining things. So, you know, I was just a little bit curious about what was going on there, but didn't think too much into it. Then after that, the next sort of activity at the property, it was also the same son, my middle son. We had a spare fridge out in the carport area. And to get to that, you had to walk through the little hallway and through the laundry area to get there. And he's walked through there late one night, and he heard his name spoken. And as he was walking past, whispered, like sort of like in his ear as he was walking through to the carport. So that really rattled him. And he's like come and told me straight away. So I'm sort of, okay, putting the first instance, you know, like what's happened there, then this together, and thinking, okay, what's going on? And I'm like a pretty spiritual person myself and can pick up on these sort of things and sort of tap into them. And so at this point, nothing has happened to me. I haven't witnessed anything. So, you know, I'm just sort of thinking, okay, something's going on, but I'm not 100% sure what or what type of entity it may be, whether it was possibly, you know, mischievous or, if it was more sinister than that. I didn't have any idea at that point. So after that, my husband, he'd worked away, so I was at the home with my two teenage sons most of the time. My husband worked away a month at a time. And he's come home and we've decided to go off on a holiday to Bali. So while we're away, my eldest son and his girlfriend are at home and they're watching TV, and we'd recently got a puppy. Well, she wasn't like really, really young, like puppy, like she was probably maybe 6 months old or so. So she's a little dash hound. So they're watching TV and the little dashie is in the lounge with them, but she's looking back at them. So they're looking at the TV and her back's towards the TV, looking back at them on the lounge. And then they notice that she's just staring at them, like just blank. And so they're calling her name and they're going, "Luna, Luna, Luna." And there was just like absolutely no response, like not wagging her tail. There was no eye blinks, just like stone cold, like not moving at all. And so she was like in a full trance. And then the next thing that had happened is something, they couldn't see what had done it, but something has grabbed her tongue out of her mouth and like fully stretched it out the front of her mouth and then curled it up towards her ear. And my son sort of described it like making like a Joker smile type of thing. And he said like it was just physically impossible for her to do that herself. So that sort of, that was the next thing that had happened. So we've got back from Bali and he's sort of like told us, well, he'd actually told us while we were over there, because he was quite frightened at this point, what had, you know, his own personal encounters, because this is about the third one that he'd had. So he was getting quite sort of nervous in the house. So we've returned back from Bali. My husband's gone back out to FIFO for another month. Then basically what had happened after that, that's when I've got an older son as well. I've got three boys. So the eldest boy, he didn't live at the home, but he would frequently visit and stay quite frequently, like a few nights at a time. So at this point, things started happening to myself and my eldest son. So the first thing that happened was to me, and it was the sound of, like, I had a front screen door and I'd have it open but I'd have it locked, and like I'd be in the kitchen or I'd be in the lounge room and I would all of a sudden hear this really like aggressive running, like towards the door, like someone was being chased. and there was no vocals to it. It was basically just this massive amount of energy I could hear. It was like either someone was getting chased or like kids playing, and one was like just running from someone, like running for their life type of thing. And I would get up several times. This probably happened a good three times. And I'd get up fully expecting someone to be at the door. Each time, no one there. So that was my first sort of experience in the home. Yeah, and then the next thing that happened was my eldest son's encounter. So he was in the TV room, in the lounge room, watching telly, and where the lounge was positioned, you could sit on the lounge and look right down the hallway, and the bedrooms would come off the hallway. And so he's sitting there, and I can't recall whether he had heard something and that made him look, but he's looked down the hallway and he described what he said was a demon that had run across the hallway, across the hallway into the laundry. And he said that it was fully black. It had green fluorescent eyes. When he's looked at it, it's turned to him and has like almost like hissed at him and like snarled at him. And then it's like just ripped through to the laundry. And that was the last that he's seen of it. So that was his encounter. He would have been back then, he would have been about 25 when that happened to him. So that was the first thing that had happened to him in the home. At this point, my youngest boy, he had no activity around him whatsoever, and which I sort of found a bit strange, because like he would always be up quite late at night, especially on like weekends, you know, like playing Xbox and that sort of thing. And I'd sort of say to him, because he was aware of what was going on, I said, you know, like, aren't you scared? And no, you know, nothing had ever happened to him in the house. Yeah, so that was that. Then moving forward on the next encounter that we had, my sons had a group of friends coming over to watch the football game, and they'd sort of asked me, Mum, could you like cook up some food and so we can all watch the game and that. And I said, yep, that's no problem. So before I'd gone to Bali, I'd bought a selfie stick, which I never ended up using, and I still had it packed in its case. And I said to them, I said, oh, look, we need to get some photos of everyone. And I said, oh, wait there, I'll run and grab my selfie stick so we can get the full group in the photo. So I've gone and got it, and I've brought it out and put it on the kitchen bench. So a little bit of time's passed. We still hadn't got this photo. And I said, come on, look, we better get this photo. So I get up to get the selfie stick. I couldn't find it. Anyway, so I'm like looking everywhere, couldn't find it. At this point, I'm asking everyone to help me look for it. So we're all looking, could not find it anywhere. And I thought, okay, I don't know where it bloody is. So I've gone and sat back down at the kitchen table. They're all in the lounge room watching the game, and where the kitchen table was, you could see into the lounge room. It was quite a fairly open plan, low set. So I'm just sitting there, and my son's girlfriend, she's on the lounge, and I could see her spin around on the lounge and like look behind the lounge, like jump up, almost like she thought someone was like poking her, like it was one of the lads, you know, playing tricks on her. And there was like just a small gap. You could walk it behind the lounge, but it wasn't like a thoroughfare. So it was only just a small gap, which then this glass slider door sort of started. So look, I'm not saying anything, but I'm just seeing her jumping up, and I see her spin around and look to see if someone's there. Anyway, so she sits back down. And then the next thing is she has looked to the side of her shoulder, and the selfie stick is sitting on her shoulder. So everyone was just very, very, like, shocked. Like, how the hell did that happen? So at this point, like, I'm getting quite scared to be in the home. And even though, like, I have had activity, like, around me in my life, like, just from past loved ones that have passed on, I never really felt frightened of that. But at this house, at this point, I started getting scared, like, to be there. So, yeah, I was very anxious. And, of course, with my husband not being there, that sort of probably made things a little bit worse and made me feel a bit more scared. So, yeah, so that was that. So the next thing that had happened, it was another encounter with my eldest son. He was 25 at the time. So the house was quiet. It was quite late and we were sitting down at the kitchen table having a drink and just having a chat. There was no music on or anything. Everything was quiet and we were just having a chat about stuff. And the next thing is the dining chair moved. And I just, like, couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it's moved three times out from underneath the table. And the three movements were exactly the same. That's one thing I just vividly remember, is the precision of the moves and the sound of the moves were exactly the same. And at this point, I said to my son, I thought that he was playing a trick on me. And I'd actually got, like, a bit sort of angry and said, you know, did you do that? Are you, like, stirring me up? And he just said, Mum, he said, I promise you I did not do it. And he started getting, like, quite defensive and that. And I knew then, I'm thinking, no, okay, he's saying he didn't do it. And he said, but I think at that point he didn't think I was 100% convinced, because he was a little bit of a trickster. And I'm just, you know, I was just sitting there sort of shaking my head. And he goes, Mum, let's try and reenact it then. If you think it's me, he said, I'm telling you it was not me. I did not touch it. And because I thought, at first, I thought, has he moved it with his foot? Like, I knew he didn't do it with his hands because I was watching him. And he said, Mum, to prove to you that I did not do it, he said, let's try to reenact what we just seen and heard. So we literally stand up and we tried to reenact this, I would say, a good 50 times. So the chair was on, like, really big tile, like a tile floor, but the tiles were, like, really, the really big ones. And so we've, like, you know, pulling the chair out, like, doing the three movements, and it would go, like, when we'd pull it out, like, the movement that we heard at the beginning was, like, it went, like, and it was exact same sound, exact same movement. But then when we were trying to do it, we just couldn't get it right. Like, it'd go, like, you know, say, no matter what we did, the combo, like, just never was the same as to what we'd actually heard. So at that point, like, we've done this about 50 times. So, and he said, I told you, Mum. He said, you know, he said, I'm not stuffing around with this. He said, I would not, like, play a trick on you because I know, like, you are scared here. And at this point too, he was even scared himself, because he'd had a couple of encounters. So that just, like, really shocked me. And I must say, like, after all of the, you know, just the paranormal activity I've had in my life, I think I probably, like, almost, like, was questioning my sanity, because I thought to myself, this is just, like, too corny to be true. You know, because it's so cliche, like a chair moving. You know, it's what you see in the movies and that sort of thing. You know, and I just thought, this is just way too corny. And so that was that experience. So then the next thing that had happened was, and this was my final encounter in the home before we finally moved out. at this point, we'd been living there about 9 months. And I was desperate to get out at this point. So my sons have asked me once again if their friends could come over because they love their footy and they'd always be, you know, wanting to watch the game and getting mum to cook up and that sort of thing. So I said, yep, no problem at all. But at this stage, I'm very nervous in the home. And they said, look, we're just going down to the basketball court to play a quick game and we'll be back before their friends arrived. And this was quite late in the afternoon, so it was starting to get dark. And I said, look, don't be long, please. And so they've taken off to the basketball court. I'm in the kitchen preparing dinner, and it was like a galley-style kitchen. So you sort of walk into it and there's a block wall at the end. So I'm at the stove cooking, and I see my little dog, my little Dashie, and she's sitting at the end of the kitchen just looking at me, and I've noticed she's staring at me and in a trance. So I'm calling her name, Luna, Luna, Luna. No response, no blinking again, no wagging tails, nothing. It was literally like looking at a statue. And the moment that I've sort of called her name the last time, I see what I describe as a demon poke its head around the kitchen wall at me. I'd describe it as it was around about a 10-year-old child. It was like a black blob, but it did have some definition to it. And so at this stage, I have just jumped back from the stove and I just had no energy in my body. Like it was, I've never experienced anything like it before. Like I could best describe it as just an overload of negative adrenaline. And I was just, I just sort of like put my hands on the kitchen bench and I'm just trying to like just get some sort of strength back just so I could like function. I was just like jelly. And so that, yeah, I was like really, really like rattled at that point and terrified.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That is an incredible 9 months to live in that house, because anyone hearing this story would assume that this happened over being there for a lifetime, over many, many years. But for all of this to happen in the period of just 9 months, that is incredible.
Yes.
And I can only imagine the anxiety and the stress that everyone in that house had when these unexplainable pieces of activity started to happen, because, you know, your home is your sanctuary. It's where you're supposed to feel safe.
Exactly.
It's where you go to escape all the bad. And
that's right.
Your home is not that. Like this home genuinely, like you said a little bit earlier there, it sounds corny about some of the things that happen. Like it's in a movie, but this house, it genuinely sounds like it is a movie. There is just no escaping it, no matter who you are, where you are. The thing that I did notice, though, was that it kind of seemed to resolve itself around only a key few people in the house. And maybe that's an oversight of mine, but it sounds like it didn't really have much to do with your youngest son.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
No, he didn't have any encounter at the home. And I was like a little bit shocked about that because, as I said, like he was up late a lot. You know, like he was in high school at the time, and I was waiting for both of the boys to graduate so we could move because my husband worked in Perth. And so during midweek, you know, he had his, you know, his deadline of like what time he had to go to bed. But on the weekend, it was sort of a free-for-all, and he would be up very late, like sometimes 2-3 in the morning. And I said to him, mate, you're like, aren't you frightened, like, sitting there, you know? And it, yeah, it just didn't bother him at all. And he never had any encounters that whole time. So it was really only myself and my eldest son and my middle son. My husband wasn't there. Like when he would come home from FIFO, he'd only really be there for about 5 days because he'd spend like 2 days travelling, one day to get there and one day to get back out to site. So he really only had 5 days at home, and like the first couple of days he was sleeping, you know, just from coming off night shift for the month and doing all the travel from Perth to Brisbane and Brisbane to Townsville. So, you know, we sort of really didn't get any value out of him until about the third day in from being back home. So he didn't really have any personal encounters himself in the short time that he was there, but it was mainly just me and my sons. But also my son's girlfriend did have, like, she did witness that night when the selfie stick was on her shoulder. And we had gone out one night for my husband's parents' anniversary, and it had so happened that everything had been arranged and she didn't have an invite, and it was all like seating and everything had already been arranged, so we couldn't like bring her along, and she was staying with us, and she was just like terrified. And she said, like, it's the feeling like, she said, it was safer for me to sit outside. Like, we lived in like a cul-de-sac, and she said, I felt safer sitting outside in the middle of the road at night up at the end of the cul-de-sac than I did sitting in the house.
That's wild, isn't it?
And so that's what she did, like, the night that we went out and we knew that we had to leave her there. But we said, look, we're going to try not to be late. We'll be back because, you know, we all knew what was going on there. And she said, yeah, I just feel, like, safer sitting outside.
Does it feel like that house has a control over your life when you're in a situation like that?
Oh, yes, very much so, I think, because you question everything. You question, you know, like, did you leave that item there? Did you move it? Did some other thing move it? You know, you just, like, just your senses are so heightened, you know, which I think in a way sort of like brings on that anxiety because you're just on like such high alert all the time. And you're almost anticipating, because we had so much activity over a short period of time, you're almost anticipating what's happening next. So you feel like you can't really relax.
Oh, absolutely. And I really feel for your middle son because at 17 years old, you know, that's basically the final year of high school. And depending on what he was planning to do with his future, you know, that's a rather pivotal moment in a young person's life. And to have the stress of everything like this going on at home while potentially still trying to, you know, further his education journey or even his, you know, his journey into the workforce, that would be just so difficult for him.
Well, that's right, because he was actually leaving for the military. So he had that, you know, to work towards and consider, you know. So he's obviously trying to finish his schooling and get the best marks that he can, and then obviously looking forward to the next stage of joining the military, which he did straight after he graduated.
As a mother, it would have been so difficult to kind of comprehend everything that's going on. And I know you said, like, you were a spiritual person, and I know from the previous contact that we have that you've had kind of previous encounters with kind of the paranormal world before, but I would imagine there would have been a sense of, like, helplessness that you can't help your child to cope with what's going on, because the whole sliding door situation in the bedroom, him not having the control of his own domain there would have just been next level, I feel.
That's right. And I think also too, like, when he heard his name be called, I think that really changed him, like the way that he was in the house, you know, because it's a very strong entity that can actually speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're dealing with, like, a very strong entity. I believe that they call them intelligent spirits that actually have that ability to be able to vocalize to you.
Well, yeah, and this is something that really stands out about whatever was going on in this house, is that there is a sense of sentience to it. The fact that this thing is physically interacting with its environment, it's interacting with your family, it's interacting with them by name, and even in a physical sense with your pet dog. That there would have just been so terrifying for anyone to see, let alone a 17-year-old child seeing, you know, something kind of twisting their dog's face into something that it shouldn't be.
I believe that was the most terrifying thing in the house that happened to him, was seeing the dog's tongue, like, come out. And he said, "Mum, look, it's like stretched it right out, like long as the tongue could come out, and then, like, curled it up as if to make, like, a smiley face." And, like, that, like, he's never ever forgotten it, you know, and it just really, really shocked him and his girlfriend, like, to see that.
It's a pretty haunting story to even hear, so I can't imagine how he felt in that moment, especially when you and your husband were over in Bali at that period of time. Like, he would have never been more alone in his life in a more terrifying environment. And for that to happen, it's just kind of like, that would have been so much to bear for someone of his age.
Yes. Yes. No, you know, it was. And, you know, he's a strong lad. So I think, you know, that's what sort of got him through it. But, yeah, like, you know, and I'd sort of wondered, it got me thinking about the house, because I think my thoughts about all of the activity changed when my son said he'd seen this demon in the hallway. There were three probably significant things. It was that, it was the calling my son's name, and then obviously when I seen the demon in the kitchen, I knew that I was dealing with something bad, and that's why I think I was so terrified, because, as I said, I've had lots of encounters with other, you know, good spirits, mischievous spirit. I wouldn't have been as scared, but I knew it at one point that I'm dealing with something a lot more sinister here.
Yeah, definitely. And I forgot to ask you earlier, but when you saw this entity in your kitchen, did it have the same green eyes that your eldest son reported?
It's one thing that I didn't get to see. I didn't notice anything that was, like, glowing up near its face, but it had happened so quick. It was like I'd sort of seen from the shoulders down, I didn't really concentrate on the face, which is sort of weird, I guess, but I think like in those fleeting moments where things happen like so quickly in front of your eyes, you just don't know how you're going, you know, how you're reacting, you know, in that instant second. But all I remember is from like the shoulders down, and it looked like about a 10-year-old's height, and it looked blobby, but it did have definition, but not definition like a human, but you could see some definition. It wasn't just like a black blob. There was definition in it. Like I could see sort of like a bit of a, I could see, you know, like the shape of a waist. I could see legs.
Okay, a bit of a humanoid shape, yes, to it.
Yes, yes, definitely. So, yeah, and it was like, and it was solid. It wasn't anything like transparent. It was like a solid creature. Like it's a solid being, yeah.
It's terrifying to think of, and I can honestly really empathise with you being in this situation, because as a parent myself, it would just be the worst situation to be in, not being able to, you know, fight this thing or have any, yes, any control over it. And then you are alone with this thing, and you have this moment with it where it essentially just sucks the life out of you, where, yeah, you're just completely depleted of all your energy, all your essence. It would
have
been,
I couldn't have done anything. Like even if I wanted to run at that point, I couldn't have run.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I had nothing left in me. Like it had just drained everything out of my body.
And that's a really scary situation, because I don't know if that's the whatever this entity is telling you that it rules the roost, like this is my place, these are my rules, look what I can do to you, or if it was something just completely different.
Mm. Yeah, it made me wonder, like at the point where I'd almost was ready to move out, I'd actually got in contact with the lady that I took the lease over from, and I'd remembered her name on the lease, and I actually looked on Facebook and I found her, and I messaged her and I said, look, I didn't tell her like everything that had happened, but I just said, look, could you tell me, did anything strange happen in this house to you? She basically said no, but I just like had a sense of, I don't think she would have told me.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be hard admitting that to someone when she knew I was taking over the lease and my husband lived away, similar to hers, where she was at home with children and I was coming into the same situation. I think it probably would have been hard for her to actually say, oh, yeah, I'll let you move in, and full well knew that there was like a demon here.
Yeah, well, there
so
would
I wasn't
be
100% convinced that, you know, what she told me was the truth.
Yeah, well, there would be a massive sense of, I guess, guilt that would go along with that, because, you know, she's probably done everything she can to get out of that situation. Like, it's really hard to get out of a 12-month lease, and to break it 3 months in, that is, you know, it's a really, really rare and odd occurrence. So
that's right.
You know, for,
and like then I sort of started thinking, because this was a new home, and that was the other thing that I was really curious about, because essentially, like, you know, obviously entities and that can happen in any home, but I feel like obviously the older the home is and the more history that a home has, you know, there's some sort of backstory to it. You know, you can sort of substantiate a little bit more as to why that's going on, or, you know, someone has died here, or there was an accident here, or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a very new home. It would have only been a couple of years old.
Makes me wonder if it has something to do with the land. if there's
that's
something,
what I thought.
Yeah, if there's something attached to the actual land rather than the actual property itself, because I get this all the time. People would email me about, we've just moved into this brand new house, we've just had it built, and we have this really weird activity going on here. I don't know what's going on. And I think a lot of the time in those situations, it's probably related to either a person, like an individual has got themselves attached to something, or they're haunted themselves, or it's the land has some kind of history to it that is kept this spirit around.
But I sort of got to the point where, look, early on in the activity, I'd only dread like nighttime, but it had got to the point where I'd even be scared there in broad daylight.
That's a really terrible situation to be in. And if you're feeling like that, you could imagine that your children are potentially feeling like that as well. And I think it's really telling in the way that I guess your family communicates, in the fact that your son was able to come forward so quickly to say, hey, no, something weird is happening here, so quickly, so early on in the piece, because a lot of people have these weird encounters happen and kind of just keep it to themselves. I think it's a real testament, I guess, to, you know, yourself as a parent, to have your kids come to you and be so open about something so unusual happening.
Yes, I agreed, Cade. And I think also too, like my son, you know, like he's a very intelligent boy, like at 17, and I've always described him as an old soul. So I just think that he really, like, he knew in his heart, like, what he was dealing with.
Yeah, he knew it wasn't normal.
Yeah, he knew that it wasn't right and something was, you know, bad there. And that's why I think he sort of told me so soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it truly is a haunting situation to be in, no pun intended. But, Ray, I want to thank you for sharing your story. It is genuinely a story of terror, and it comes directly from the heart, because as a parent myself, I could only imagine that situation, and I really wouldn't wish it upon anyone. So I thank you so much for coming on the show to share it with me and share it with the listeners.
You're most welcome, Cade. I hope that the listeners find it interesting and intriguing. But yeah, I've even, like, I moved to Brisbane, and I'd even, like, just over the years, and probably as recent as 3 months ago, I actually Googled the address just to see, is there anything anywhere that someone has put up about this house? I couldn't find anything.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets, and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.